Well, welcome back to LifePoint DriveCast. My name is Corey DeCaro, and I serve as a teaching pastor at our Plain City campus. Thanks for taking some time out of your Friday to listen today. This past Sunday, we jumped back into our series looking at the Gospel of Luke called Labels, where Luke highlights Jesus' interaction with people who are on the fringes, people who feel labeled, people who feel left out, isolated, or too far from grace. And so the big idea for this series has been that the gospel calls us to a life above labels. Now this week we walked through Luke chapter 3, and in doing so we came back to the life of John the Baptist, whom we were first introduced to in Luke chapter 1. Well, God has been silent for 400 years, and he's about to get things moving again. And in doing so, John will play an important role in preparing the way in God's master plan unfolding. John would prepare the way for Jesus, God in the flesh. And in doing so, we read in Luke chapter 3 and verse 2 that the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And verse 3 says, he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. So John emerges from the wilderness, and he emerges with a powerful and specific message, the message of repentance. Now, repentance was the focal point of all of John's teaching. Now, some people think repentance is mostly about feelings, especially feeling sorry for something or for doing wrong or feeling sorry for your sin. And it's wonderful to feel sorry about your sin, but repentance isn't a feelings word. It's an action word. To repent means to turn from, specifically to turn from sin. And as we're reading through the Gospel of Luke together throughout the week, I was listening to one of the devotionals we're doing through the YouVersion app, and on this chapter, I like how it said, repentance is deciding sin is wrong, that it's a change of mind, changing your mind about the things you do and the way you live, that it's agreeing with God on what he decides is wrong and deciding to live with him. Well, you see, John's announcing here that all are flawed and in need of repentance for the forgiveness of sins that only comes through God. And so John was preparing people's hearts to be ready for Jesus, to be ready for the gospel. Well, John's teaching is so impactful and so powerful that people begin to ask if John is the Messiah that they've been waiting for. John quickly denies these claims and says something that's important for us today. He says in verse 16, "But he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie." John's been helping prepare people's hearts for the coming of Jesus, and here we see John's own heart is on display. We see that John had a right view of himself and a right view of Jesus. We see John's humble heart. John had many reasons to be proud. He had a miraculous birth. He had a prophesied destiny. He was a man called to personally fulfill a great prophetic promises. And he was a powerful preacher. And he was a man with a great following. Yet instead of working on his brand or his popularity or his name, his likes and his followers, John was humble. And this led to John himself and to John telling others to look to the one who is mightier. Just like the people of John's day, we can look at everything around us and everyone around us, and it will eventually leave us defeated and angry and worried and scared and even hopeless. But we need to remember that the one who is mightier has come, that we need not look to all of the things around us, that doing so only leads to labels and categories and being boxed in. That John has prepared a way for us to look to the one who is mightier than all that stuff, the one who is greater, to Jesus, who transcends everything in our world. That we look to Jesus, who said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." We look to Jesus, who says that he is far above any ruler or authority or power or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, that God has put all things under the authority of Jesus and has made him head over all things. We look to Jesus, who is head over every ruler and every authority figure, like it says in Colossians 2:10. And we look to Jesus, as it says in Colossians 1, where he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That we look to Jesus, one who is above it all, one who doesn't miss a thing, who's in control, we look to the one who is mightier. We look to Jesus, God in the flesh, who gave up his divine privileges, took on the humble position of a slave, was born as a human being, and humbled himself in obedience to God, and died a criminal's death on the cross for our sins, and rose from the grave on the third day. Right? This is the gospel. God does not ask us to come up the spiritual mountain. He does not ask us to clean up ourselves before coming to him. He does not ask us to work our way to him. Instead, he came down the mountain in the form of Jesus. And Jesus meets us in our mess and our sin. Jesus has done all the work. Jesus is mightier than all of our past and all of our sin. He's mightier than our doubts and our shame and our struggles. So the question today is, who are you looking to? Are we looking to the political leaders and the social media influencers and all of those around us? Well, John tells us to look to the one who is mightier than those. John tells us to look to the one who changes our hearts, who changes us from the inside out. I want to encourage you today to look to Jesus, to fix your eyes on Jesus, the founder and the author and the perfecter and the finisher of our faith, that we can look to Jesus, the one who has begun a good work in you and will bring it to completion. Let me pray for us today. Heavenly Father, thank you for coming to us. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the mighty one who is above all of the noise and all of the chaos and all of the voices and all of the circumstances and all of the labels of this world. Help us to look to you. Help us to trust in you. And just as John did, help us in the process to point others to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.